Here it is!
From deep inside your radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, news of AFPAC. Oh, what did I do?
AFPAC!
First of all, on today's broadcast, the Free and Fair Election Foundation of Afghanistan, FIFA with an E, released a report this week that shows insecurity, fraud, and registration violations have marred the first phase of the country's voter registration drive. They're having an election next year for the new president, just as we withdraw how many troops? FIFA found thousands of cases where individuals had received voter cards without being asked to provide valid ID documents, as well as thousands of cards that went to people who are underage. The report also notes that insecurity led to delays in opening several voting centers, particularly those trying to register women. To combat these challenges, the agency said Afghanistan's Independent Election Commission must do more to ensure valid documents are checked and urge the international community to strengthen its observation of the second phase of the campaign. Meanwhile, Afghanistan's future security will remain dependent on international troops for many years after the withdrawal in 2014. That's according to the U.S. commander of the NATO-led force in Afghanistan, you see. With the formal handover to Afghans closing in, intense debate is underway about how many troops the United States and its NATO allies should leave behind. The White House favors about 7,000 troops. Did you know that? Some in the U.S. military would prefer 2 to 3 times as many. However many there are left behind, they'll play a vital role in supporting the Afghan National Security Force. According to U.S. General Joseph Dunford, in an interview with Reuters this week, he argued for a significant presence after the withdrawal. Quote, the post-2014 presence is a lot more complicated than the numbers, and the numbers have become a distraction, to be honest with you. It's about a lot more than numbers. It's about what capability is required to sustain the Afghan security forces. Unquote. 12 years into the war, the Taliban and other insurgents are still able to make telling blows against foreign troops and Afghan government installations. That makes the decision about the post-2014 force even more important. The current force is 87,000 troops, 3/4 of them American. Dunford says the intense debate about the size of the residual force was, quote, not helpful. Oh, I'm so sorry. One of the sticking points about the force has been the suspension of talks between Afghanistan and the United States over a bilateral security pact. You may remember the collapse of a similar pact between the United States and Baghdad led the U.S. to pull all of our troops out of Iraq. And Iraq has since descended back into sectarian violence. Have you noticed that? In case you haven't, quote, Iraq is moving back into a primary state of civil war and its internal focus is coming back to counterinsurgency, counterterrorism, according to Anthony Korsman of the Center for Strategic and International Study. U.S. is trying to sell missile defense systems to Iraq, according to Defense News. But the real world problems in Iraq are very much dominated by internal stability, says Korsman. But the U.S. continues to sell a lot of stuff to countries in the Middle East. The sale of radar and missile systems to Iraq follows a trend for U.S. sales, a larger trend for U.S. sales in the region, according to Defense News, including a sale to the United Arab Emirates of a sophisticated radar and deals announced in November of last year with Qatar and the UAE for terminal high-altitude area defense fire units, launchers, and interceptors for $8.4 billion. Nice work, boys. And speaking of the condition of Iraq, since we won there, check out this story from the Washington Post regarding Lebanon. Dateline Beirut. While Lebanon is no stranger to explosions, since the country's 15-year civil war ended in 1990, they have largely taken the form of targeted assassinations. But since Hezbollah has begun sending fighters to Syria to help President Assad battle a largely Sunni opposition, the civil war there has taken an increasingly sectarian turn. Reprisal attacks on the Shiite movement in Lebanon have multiplied. Analysts cited a bombing this past Thursday as evidence that Iraq-style sectarian bombings, that's the Washington Post description, have now reached Lebanon as Sunni-Shiite divisions widen. Iraq-style sectarian divisions. Yes, we did light a candle. And now, ladies and gentlemen, news of Nice Corp. Nice people doing nice things. Scotland Yard is investigating News International, owned by Nice Corp, as a corporate suspect over the hacking and bribery offenses. According to the Independent newspaper, it's learned that Metropolitan Police has opened an active investigation into the corporate liabilities of the group, which has recently been rebranded News UK, or Nice UK, which could have serious implications for the ability of its parent corporation, Nice Corp, to operate in the United States. One of Rupert Murdoch's most senior lawyers has been interviewed under caution on behalf of the company. Two other very senior figures have been officially cautioned for corporate offenses. The development has caused, according to the Independent, pandemonium at the upper echelons of the empire. Shortly afterwards, executives in America ordered that the company dramatically scale back its cooperation with Scotland Yard on those ongoing investigations of hacking and bribery. A News Corporation analysis of the effects of a corporate charge produced in New York said the consequences could, quote, kill the corporation, and 46,000 jobs would be in jeopardy. That's the corporation that owns the New York Post and the Wall Street Journal in the United States. Lawyers for the media behemoth have pleaded with the Crown Prosecution Service not to prosecute the company, as it would not be in the public interest to put thousands of jobs at risk. That's right. Their size would be a barrier to prosecution. Does that sound like a familiar strategy to any bankers out there? Gerson Zweifach, the general counsel of News Corporation, flew into London for emergency talks with Scotland Yard. He told police, quote, crappy governance is not a crime. The downstream effects of a prosecution would be apocalyptic. The U.S. authorities' reaction would put the whole business at risk, as licenses would be at risk, unquote, i.e., broadcasting licenses for Fox television stations, which are owned by a separate corporation now. That's why it's Nice Corp. Nice people doing nice things. Hello, welcome to the show.
job. Imagine there's an answer. Imagine there's a God. Imagine I'm a devil. Imagine I'm a saint. Lazy money, lazy sexy, lazy out of space. No tears are falling from my eyes. I'm keeping all the pain inside. Now don't you wanna live with me? I'm lazy as a man can be. I'm wicked and I'm lazy. Oh, don't you wanna save me? Lazy when I work, lazy all the day. Screaming all you like, but it only fades away. I'm lazy when I'm praying, lazy on the job. Got lazy mind, a lazy eye, a lazy, lazy pod. Hard man, hard lives. Stop.
From London, England, home of the Brits, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, news of our friend the Atom.
Clean, safe, too cheap to meet. Save, cheap, too cheap to meet. Cheap, save, too safe to meet. Save, save, too safe to meet.
Addy?
Yeah.
You ready?
Born ready.
Okay. You remember when the nuclear football described the strange little appurtenance that American presidents took with them wherever they went in case they needed to push the big button?
Yeah. Too young.
Okay. It was. I think they still have it. Anyway, a new nuclear football comes into sharp focus this week. The Yucca Mountain dump. In a rebuke to the Obama administration, a federal appeals court ruled this week that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has been violating federal law,
really,
by delaying a decision on that proposed dump.
Don't call it a dump. It's a repository.
Okay, it's a repository dump. By a 2-1 vote, the Court of Appeals ordered the commission to complete the licensing process and approve or reject the Energy Department's application for a never-completed, never-begun waste storage site at Yucca Mountain in Nevada. The court said the nuclear agency was, quote, simply flouting the law when it allowed the Obama administration to continue plans to close the proposed waste site. The action goes against a federal law that designated Yucca Mountain as the nation's sole high-level nuclear waste repository. Quote, the president may not decline to follow a statutory mandate or prohibition simply because of policy objections, said the judge writing the majority opinion. That would be news to most recent presidents, don't you think? The NRC is reviewing the decision, said a spokesman. Energy Department Secretary Ernest Moniz says the Yucca Mountain project is a complete stalemate. He says he saw no evidence of that changing. Currently, we don't have funding. That's because the Senate, led by Harry Reid, senator from guess where?
Nevada.
Nevada has refused funding for Yucca Mountain. The dispute has stretched back more than 3 decades. The government has spent an estimated $15 billion on the site, but has never completed it. No waste is stored there. South Carolina and Washington State were among several parties to the lawsuit seeking to force the NRC to rule on the Yucca Mountain application. Why? Because both states have large nuclear waste sites that would get emptied if Yucca Mountain could take their nuclear waste. There's no money for Yucca Mountain, says Reed. We've cut out funding for many years now, and there's none in our budget to stop it. Sorry, to start it. Reed is a longtime opponent Yucca Mountain has drawn nearly unanimous opposition from Nevada elected officials. It's a nuclear football.
You mean the American style?
I mean the American style. Dateline Sacramento preparing for months a battle over who should pay the estimated $4.1 billion cost of permanently shutting down the San Onofre nuclear power plant, which closed last June. Southern California Edison has launched a public relations campaign suggesting that... Guesses?
Ladies?
No, not ladies. Ratepayers pick up part of the cost. On the eve of legislative hearings on the issue, the utility bought an ad in the L.A. Times.
They still have those?
What, ads?
No, L.A. Times.
Yes. Closing the power plant is in the best interest of customers, it said, and ratepayers should be prepared to pitch in. The company, you may recall, discovered that hundreds of new steam-generating tubes were wearing out, and it decided that keeping the plant open till the problem was solved would be too costly. Quote, if a utility asset must be retired before the end of the expected life, the utility recovers from customers its reasonable investment costs, Edison wrote. It's important to make sure our customers know about how the utility business works and why there is such a thing as cost recovery, says company president Ronald Litzinger.
I'm glad costs can recover.
No, I don't think it really... Dateline, Michigan, the May 5 release of 80 gallons of slightly radioactive water from the Palisades nuclear power plant into Lake Michigan wasn't planned, but the incident brought into focus what many Southwest Michigan residents most likely don't realize, according to the Harbor County News. The region's two nuclear power plants, Palisades and the Cook plant, routinely discharge radioactive material into the air and into Lake Michigan. The NRC allows such releases as long as they're closely monitored and don't release federal radiation release standards. Plants need to discharge small amounts of radioactive materials to operate, says Jack Geisner, branch chief for the regional NRC office. John Cassidy is a senior health physicist for the NRC regional office. He says radiological releases are an inevitable part of the nuclear power industry. Quote, they would like to recycle as much as possible of their radioactive water, but there's business needs. Unquote. Nice matching of number and whatever that is.
You don't remember your grammar?
I don't. I remember that isn't grammar. The NRC standard for occupational radiation doses at nuclear power plants is 5 rem a year. It rarely happens that a plant exceeds that, Cassidy said. All of this is public. We're not keeping anything secret. The radiation from nuclear effluents is no different than the radiation we can get from x-rays or going to the dentist, he said. But it's more, because it's in addition to, and we've been told forever, there's no dose that's too low, and it's cumulative.
Yeah, well, who told you that?
There's a continuous gaseous effluent all the time, Cassidy adds, airborne emissions coming from things as simple as the air exchangers in a plant's air conditioning system. All nuclear power plants along large bodies of water, such as Lake Michigan, routinely discharge slightly radioactive water. These effluent releases are called batch releases. For the NRC, the rule of thumb is that a nuclear power plant will have 20 to 40 annual batch releases per reactor. Anything?
Just thinking about batch releases.
Good. Dateline Plymouth, Massachusetts, the Pilgrim nuclear power plant has been forced to reduce its power output after this week's heat wave made the water in Cape Cod Bay too warm to use for cooling the reactor. That's right. As the ocean and bay waters rise in temperature, the source of power, we're told, would help prevent global warming, has to shut down or cut back, because the water is too hot for cooling. The salt water the plant uses is required to be no warmer than 75 degrees. The temperature this week went above that.
Too hot to cool?
Too hot to cool. Dateline Japan, the cash-strapped operator of the stricken Fuke plant, has presented its creditor banks with a plan to swing back to the black in the current fiscal year without restarting any of its nuclear plants. Under the plan, TEPCO would again raise electricity rates, this time by 8.5%. The utility raised its industrial power rates by 15% last year and by 8.5% for households in summer last year to pay for the cleanup and decommissioning.
The ratepayer pays. That's why they're called a ratepayer.
I don't think that's why they're called that, but 10 workers at the disaster-stricken Fukushima nuclear power plant were exposed to radiation through a contaminated mist of water. This, according to the Japan Daily Press, it was initially thought the contamination was from radioactive dust. Radiation was detected on the workers' faces and hair. No apparent initial injuries were detected. The 10 affected workers were then ordered to have full body scans to see if any of their internal organs were exposed to the radiation. Monitors worn by the workers themselves detected exposure levels as much as 10 becquerels per square centimeter. That's higher than the safe radiation exposure level, according to TEPCO.
But it's mist, not dust.
It is mist, not dust. That's correct. And finally, while conducting an investigation at the Sheeran Harris nuclear power plant in North Carolina, workers found that a pipe on the site property was leaking into the soil. Nearly 10,000 gallons of water were allowed to escape into the surrounding area, containing some 5,800 picocuries per liter of radioactive tritium. The leak was stopped, but not before over 800,000 becquerels of radiation were released. Tritium has a half-life of 12.3 years and is capable of moving through soil quickly. The EPA standard for tritium in drinking water is 20,000 picocuries per liter.
So, relax.
All right, we'll relax. It's good to relax, isn't it? Clean, safe, too cheap to meter, our friend, the atom. And now, ladies and gentlemen, news of the warm, won't you?
Soft, listen to the warm. We can listen to the warm.
Yes, we can. In a rare opportunity to directly compare today's plant communities with a survey taken in the same area 50 years ago, a University of Arizona-led research team has provided the first on-the-ground evidence that southwestern plants are being pushed to higher elevations by an increasingly warmer and drier climate. Findings confirm that previous hypotheses are correct in their prediction that mountain communities in the southwest will be strongly impacted, there's your verbification, by an increasingly warmer and drier climate, and that the area is already experiencing rapid vegetation change. This is along the Catalina Highway in the Santa Catalina Mountain, northeast of Tucson. Our study provides the first on-the-ground proof of plants being forced significantly upslope due to climate warming in southern Arizona, says Richard Brusca, a research scientist in the University of Arizona's Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology. If climate continues to warm as the climate models predict, the subalpine mixed conifer forests on the top of the mountains and the animals dependent upon them could be pushed right off the top and disappear. Oh, they'll just build more mountain, won't they? Climate change is set to trigger more frequent and severe heat waves in the next 30 years, regardless of the amount of CO2 we emitted to the atmosphere, according to a new study. Extreme heat waves such as those that hit the U.S. in 2012 and Australia in 2009, dubbed Three Sigma events by the researchers, are projected to cover double the amount of global land by 2020, quadruple the amount by 2040. Meanwhile, more severe summer heat waves, classified as Five Sigma events, will go from being essentially absent in the present day to covering around 3% of the global land surface by 2040. The new study, published in the journal Environmental Research Letters, finds that in the first half of this century, these projections will occur regardless of the amount of more CO2 we emit. After that, the rise in frequency of extreme heat waves becomes dependent on the emission scenario adopted. So we're semi-baked as of now. News of the warm, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. And now,
I guess I'm just lucky so-and-so.
Oh, it's a bumper crop today. As the trend continues to proliferate, is it a trend? Is it a fad? Is it a thing? I don't judge. I just present for your entertainment and edification. Scads more examples of interviewees beginning answers to questions with no conclusion yet being drawn. Beginning them, I say, with the word so. The initial so, as it's called in the lexicological literature. So sit back, relax, and let your weekend fill with some answers beginning with the word so.
You start off the book with Brandon. Can you tell us his story?
So Brandon was a 34-year-old African-American young man.
I mean, and what about the fact that he is African-American? We see higher unemployment in young African-Americans than with whites who have similar backgrounds.
So I would say it's more a question of whether he's taking the right risks.
What are the typical milestones of adulthood as far as these people are concerned?
So they've kind of given up on the traditional pathway of moving out of their parents' house.
What did they tell you when you asked them if they felt like they were adults?
So they would tell me these stories of, well, I had a really hard childhood.
What is the situation today? Is Egypt helpless?
So what you're seeing today is the dark side of the political awakening.
What would you advise a president to do about our financial assistance to Egypt's military?
So I think the role of the U.S. and the role of Europe is much more than the financial aid they give.
Who's a police officer now? Do you look for Saudi Arabia or the UAE or Qatar to step up and take power in Egypt, either in a direct or indirect way?
So this notion of a police officer and this notion of a global police officer, I think, has become outdated.
What can be the new destination for the impoverished of your Egypt?
So Egypt had two problems.
Well, first of all, for people who are not familiar with Grumpy Cat, can you just give us a very quick description of who she is and maybe her rise to fame?
Yeah, so Grumpy Cat is a adorably grumpy cat.
And they're using it as a meme that way, right?
Yeah, totally. So all the kids out in the meme world start throwing up different quotations on and jokes on the pictures.
You arranged a big appearance for Grumpy Cat recently. Tell us about that in Austin.
Yeah, so I also help set up appearances, and Grumpy Cat, along with two of my other clients, Scumbag Steve and Chris Torres, who created Nyan Cat.
How did AQAP as we know it form?
Right. So this is a group that really has its roots in a prison break in Yemen.
And tell us a little bit more about him and some of the other more remarkable characters in the group.
So Nasser al-Wahashi is someone who left Yemen in the late 1990s.
Tell us kind of what we've seen from them and who are the figures within AQAP who are kind of responsible for this reputation.
Right. So the main bomb maker that al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula has is a Saudi national by the name of Ibrahim Asiri.
How do you measure, how do you correlate human behavior to temperature?
So in recent years, a variety of research groups have assembled really useful data sets.
Is it just the temperature that could be forcing these changes? I mean, the temperature may have an effect on how much drinkable water there is around. Temperature may have an effect on how much food there is to eat in a given community.
Absolutely. So there are, in fact, many hypotheses.
Is there a threshold where you really see your observable results more strongly?
So it turns out that when we look at temperature, it actually looks as though the relationship is pretty continuous.
Are there examples of the opposite? Places that literally cool off when they cool off?
So, yes. So when we look at these sorts of relationships, what we're actually saying is that higher temperatures tend to be worse, cooler temperatures tend to be better.
What exactly is conflict?
So when we were trying to look at all different types of human conflict.
What about the curiosity? Landed a year ago, and as I recall, there was great excitement.
Right, so this is pretty incredible. The rover is about the size of a car.
Talk about its mission. What is it there to accomplish?
So this is a much bigger rover than the Spirit and Opportunity, which had gone there some years earlier. So
what is it finding?
So after they spent some time making sure the rover was working fine, they actually drove the wrong way.
The rover is now on a mission to a geographical feature called Mount Sharp. What's that all about?
So there's this 96-mile-wide crater called Gale Crater.
So talk about what we're doing online to help readers follow the mission.
So NASA's been good, and they send back all the pictures that Curiosity takes.
So all you have to do is click on a day or sol, and you'll find out what the rover accomplished on that day.
Right. So there'll be a short description of what the rover did on a particular day, and then there's some images of that it took on that day as well.
I guess if you say so, I'll have to pack my things and go.
It's summertime, 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 summertime. We'll shut them books and throw them away. Say goodbye to dull school days. Look alive and change your ways. It's summertime. Well, no more studying history and no more reading geography and no more Dalgy. I'm three because it's summertime. It's time to head straight for the mills. It's time to live and have some thrills. Come along and have a ball, a regular free-for-all. Well, are you coming or are you ain't? You slowpokes on my one complaint. Hurry up before I faint. It's summertime. Well, I'm so happy that I can flip. Oh, how I'd love to take a trip. I'm sorry, teacher, but if you look, because it's summertime. It's time to head straight for the mills. It's time to live and have some thrills. Come along and have a ball, a regular or free-for-all. Well, we'll go swimming every day. No time to work, just time to play. If your folks complain, just say it's summertime. And every night we'll have a dance, cause what's a vacation with a romance? Oh man, this jive has me in a trance, because it's summertime. It's time to head straight for the mills. It's time to live and have some thrills. Come along and have a ball, a regular or free-for-all. It's summertime. It's summertime, 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 summertime. It's summertime.
This is Le Show, and every once in a while we do something a little different. We open the phone lines to folks out there, do sort of a talk radio segment. But as the great folks in the talk radio business full time know, you don't just open the phone lines. You sort of try to set the table for the conversation with a topic that might motivate people to join the conversation, as we say in the radio business. So here's an interesting story that's just crossed the show desk. An editor at ABC News by the name of Don, D-O-N Ennis, walked into his New York City office in May wearing a black dress and a brunette wig, and told his co-workers he's legally changing his name to Dawn, D-A-W-N. A few months later, he's now revealed that he's had a two-day bout with transient global amnesia, and that's revealed to him that he's not actually transgender, and he is now reverting to Don, D-O-N, and says he's proudly a man, will be a man for the rest of his life. Interesting, cute story with some topical quality to it, and so like to know what you think. Give us a buzz, and let's take our first call right here, right now. Hi, you're on the air.
Phil Burns. Sometimes it's Phil Burns.
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, Harry, how are you?
I'm fine.
Can you guess who this is?
Well,
my dear friend. God bless you.
I could guess who it is. The readout here says caller number one.
I prefer caller number fun. It's Yvonne Della Femina. Harry, how are you, my dear, dear, sweet spirit?
Oh, I'm fine. I do recognize your voice. It sounds like about 1,000 people that I've heard over the years. But
well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
And you know, Harry, I think I'm your number one fan.
Oh, thank you.
Or the top five for sure.
Cool.
And anyway, you know, we've talked over the years. I was a this subject is very close to my heart and several other of my more vital organs.
you'd had more than one sex change, as I recall.
Yes, indeed, Harry. That's why I'm calling, because, and by the way, correct me if I know Don, but if I call him Don, because I know him so well, please correct me, because I want to be respectful. Anyway, I know Don for a long time.
You mean Dawn?
Dawn, thank you.
Yeah.
Don't correct me for a while, because I want to get this out.
Okay, sure.
As you know, I was a woman, became a guy, became a woman again over the years, became a guy, didn't work out, certain things, became a guy.
What are you now?
I am a woman again. I'm Yvonne Della Femina. But since we've spoken, and gosh, I think it's been too long now, I became a guy.
Wow.
Again.
Again.
Yes, I did, Harry, and it was a bittersweet time. My name, when I was a guy, up until recently, was Kip Glasscock.
Kip Glasscock.
Yes.
Do you mind if I, because that's, that, Glasscock, not your family name?
No, my family name is Kip. My parents were, shortened it from Kip Kuffenberg.
Uh-huh.
That's a little bit off the subject, although maybe not, I don't know.
No, that sounds like a whole other story. So, why did you become a guy?
I tell you, Harry, I became a guy because I, and this was crazy head thinking, you know, and I like to think of myself as pretty level headed.
Yeah.
But I became a guy because I just got fed up with the fact that men make more than women.
Well.
And when I became a guy, I realized that it isn't because they're men and we were women.
Yeah.
It was because taller people make more money. And as you know, I'm almost 6'5".
Yeah, but you were 6'5" as a woman too, weren't you?
I was.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I you know, you talk about Don. Is it Don or Don now? I forget.
Now it's Don.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And please, let me just finish one thought.
Sure.
Let's say I made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
You know, I beat myself up and up about it. I don't really...
Not literally.
You know, no. But what happened when I became a guy, when I was Kip Glasscock, I fell in love with a man. And as you know, Harry, and I think you know better than anybody I call on the radio, I am not gay.
Yeah.
So it caused me a lot of, you know, consternation.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a lonely life, the gay lifestyle. And he was a married man.
Wait, really, you said married man. You fell in love with a married man?
I did fall in love with a married man, but I'm ashamed of that because I'm a Catholic.
That's a lonely life whether you're gay or straight, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. Good point.
Thank you.
And anyway, while I was a guy, and by the way, I don't know how much your audience wants to hear about what that is, but, you know, it is, you know, going back and forth, I've learned a few things. I'll tell you what, I'm a walking encyclopedia of this. You know, it takes 3 times longer to heal when you go from woman to man than it does from man to woman.
I had no idea.
I know, nobody does, and that's kind of a fun fact.
Yeah. Who do you go to perform these surgeries?
There's a little island off Guatemala, and an oral surgeon, kind of a real estate guy there, who does gorgeous work. You know, Harry, the word medical degree has been pumped up to something, you know.
You're saying it's hyped?
So, like, politically correct, and also, like, such a, oh, I'm a doctor, look at me, you know.
Yeah.
But this guy has such amazing talent, and he, fortunately, I saved some tissue to become a guy. It was a hernia I had in 1981. I saved some tissue. I was able to fashion an entertainment center for me, if you know what I mean.
1981, you knew enough to save tissue from your hernia, or were you just...
Well, you know, I'm a hoarder. I'm a hoarder, and I'll admit it.
Yeah, it wasn't just a good luck symbol or something.
Yeah, good luck symbol, and also I just can't throw anything away.
Yeah. So newspapers, hernia tissue.
I have the Landing on the Moon newspaper, Bobby Kennedy, God rest his soul, that newspaper. Not from when he was assassinated, just from when he was nominated. I don't like that dark stuff.
Right. You didn't ask the doctor to fashion anything out of the newspaper.
No, but I bet he could have, because he was a genius.
A magician with a scalpel, was he?
He was a magician with a scalpel and anesthesia.
Oh.
Anyway, while Harry, you know this about me, I think, that I love weather. I always loved weather.
I had no idea.
Oh, no?
No, I knew you loved music.
I love music and weather.
Do you love music and weather together?
I love music and weather and scrapbooking and crafts.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway.
Pretty well-rounded.
So while, excuse me?
I said pretty well-rounded, and I'm thinking of your activities.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Anyway, while I was recuperating from the operation, because when you go from woman to man, you got to be careful. You got to sit with your legs up for about 8 months.
Wow.
Because things could fall off, and yeah. I don't want to be too graphic, but while I was doing that, I studied and got my degree in meteorology.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was fully healed, the Lord blessed me enough to get a job as a weatherman on a station out here in Hibbing, Minnesota. And I was kicked last cock. It was wonderful. I did a lot of car dealership openings and a lot of charity work for the young people because they're the hope.
That's giving back.
You got to.
Yeah.
You got to those who have been given, how's that? To those who have been given, more is taken, I think is the phrase.
Much is. So huh? There came a time when you decided not to be Kip Glasscock. Is that what you're saying?
Excuse me, Harry. English muffin. Yes, there did. And it had a lot to do with the fact that I just didn't feel comfortable as what I think was a gay lifestyle. I didn't approve of it. Not that I find any, I'm not judging.
Yeah. But you decided to go back into surgery. So you go back to this island off the coast of...
Well, what happened was this, Harry, and it's very simple.
Yeah.
It actually was almost a divine intervention. You know, I was a storm chaser during the time. They'd send me out tornadoes. I mean, man. And I did it because when you're a journalist, as you well know, you do what you're told. And I was caught in a, you know, when you're in a 100-mile-an-hour windstorm, you know, even if you're born a man, it's tough to hang on to your rig.
Yeah.
Long story short.
Oh, no, you're not. No,
yes,
you're.
Yes, I am saying it, and I want to go. I don't want to, be unpleasant on the radio. But, you know, a $4,000 operation down the drain.
Oh.
And that's $4,000 American.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay? Yeah. Anyway, while I was recovering from that, which again is a shorter time,
yeah.
I realized, what am I doing? I'm a woman. Come on. Get a hold of yourself.
Well,
so to speak.
Yeah.
Anyway, I healed pretty rapidly because I just have that kind of constitution. Anyway, I just like Dawn.
Or Dawn.
Dawn, thank you.
Yeah.
I came into work after a long weekend, and, you know, I was back to being Yvonne Della Feminine. Should I have told people? Should I have warned them? Of course. I see that now. But, you know, I was a little nervous. And I was wearing a wonderful boat neck look, high, it's about umpire waist,
yeah.
Earrings that my beloved grandmother, who was like my mother, gave to me.
Yeah.
And I went on, but I was a little nervous, so I had a couple of martinis before I went on for the 6 a.m. broadcast.
You were looking your best.
I was looking my best. I was nervous. And was I a little tipsy? Okay, I was. And so I pointed the wrong place on the green screen. I made a couple of mistakes. I said that we're going to be, the temperature is going to be 110 degrees, 90% humidity. It was February here.
That's,
February.
Yeah, I know.
That was the giveaway. Not so much that I had been Kip Glasscock Thursday.
Yeah.
Here we are Monday. I'm a woman.
Yeah.
Anyway, finished the broadcast, went to the craft services table for my usual Danish and coffee light,
yeah.
And the producers come over and go, get out of here, you're fired. Well, you could have knocked me over with a feather. I mean,
or with a Danish.
Or with a Danish.
Yeah.
Thanks for cheering me up.
My pleasure.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, I can...
Anywho,
yeah.
Long story short, I'm in very much the same predicament as Don, who I knew because we're, you know, it's a pretty small community. The LPGA... is that?
That's the ladies' professional golf.
Same thing. Same yeah. Diff.
It's you thinking
anyway,
of the LGBT.
We would do a lot of the same functions together.
Excuse me?
Well, we would go to some of these, you know, transgender picnics together.
Uh-huh.
Dawn, thank you. Dawn now and
Don.
I. We, you know, because his station wasn't too far from us. He would make ambrosia. I would make, a three bean salad. And you know the secret of the three bean salad, don't you?
The third bean?
Four beans.
Oh.
All right. That's a well-kept secret.
It is. I gave it away on the air. Maybe you'll cut that part out. I don't want...
We're live. Now, you're still not a meteorologist then, are you?
Oh, sure. That doesn't change, although I can't get any work, and I've sort of lost my interest in weather.
No.
Which is the saddest part for me.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I still have scrapbooking, and I love to go to see the dogs run.
What are you talking about?
I don't mean at the racetrack.
No.
Just any dog.
Just running.
Running.
Yeah.
Beautiful thing. I think dogs are God's little dumb angels.
Really? Mm-hmm. So now that you're a woman again.
Yeah. I don't want to backtrack, but yeah. I became, you know, I really got out of the male thing because, as I said, I'm not gay, and I guess I said that. Maybe I'm, you know, maybe I protest too much.
Yeah.
You're not still married, are you?
Yeah, I am. But what happened to that relationship with the married man?
Well, like so often it happens, he went back to his wife.
Mm.
Who it now turns out was having an affair with a woman.
Ugh. So modern life is kind of complicated.
You know, it is. It's rough out there for a pimp and a serial sex change person.
Were you quoting a rapper there?
I was.
Yeah. Because I know you like show tunes. I had no idea you were into.
Well, I love all. You know, there's only, as Louis Armstrong, old Satchel Mouth, said, there's only one kind of music. And I didn't really follow what else he said.
Mm. Now, how did? I guess the question that anybody listening to your story is going to ask you, Yvonne, is some variant of what parents often ask their kids: are you ever going to settle down? By which I mean, you know,
find the right person.
No.
Oh,
commit to being one or the other.
Oh, I'm definitely a gal now. That's. You know, sometimes you have to go cover the waterfront and you have to kind of go a million miles and end up coming right back to the same place you started out, although I started out as a guy.
Yeah, so that doesn't really apply.
So that doesn't apply, but you get my point.
Kind of, yeah. How much money, do you have any idea how much money you've spent on operations over the years as you've gone?
Well, boy, I'll tell you what, I don't like to think about it.
Well, that one you told us about was $4,000 down the drain.
Well, that was that last operation. Yeah. That was $4,000 American.
Yeah.
As I said.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't want to think about that. But when I think what the good news is, I have a wonderful lawyer now. You know, I'm not litigious.
No.
Litigious. But I saw no reason they should fire me just because I became a woman over a holiday weekend.
Well, I think that
the TV station, and we're, you know, I'm not after making a lot of money, and so much of it's going to go to charity.
Really?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which one?
Wounded Warriors.
Uh huh. Did your lawyer say that maybe before filing suit, as you were talking about it, that maybe cooler heads might have prevailed had you not made the change over a long weekend, but maybe taking a couple of weeks off and then come in?
Well, sure. Take their side, Harry.
Hmm?
Take their side.
No. I'm just saying.
Huh? I'm sorry. No, I blew sky high. I'm sorry about that.
You know, lawyers tend to be careful.
I don't feel very well today. I'm going to be very honest with you.
Really? What's the matter?
I'm sitting on one of those inflatable pillows thinking, what happened to Tuesday? You know, I don't know what. It's been a depressing thing, but you know me. I don't stay depressed for long.
No, well, usually music used to cheer you up. Do you still perform?
Well, I'm getting back into my music, and that's a wonderful thing. And I know you don't do plugs on your show.
No.
But if I may just say, I'm going to be appearing at the Hot Box here in Hibbing, which is a furniture store during the day, but at night they serve hot cider.
Mm.
And I'm going to do some of my Shirley Bassey tunes that I was doing when we first talked 100 years ago.
Yeah.
You know,
they serve cider in the summertime.
Is it summertime?
Yeah.
I haven't been out of this motel for. Yeah, they serve cider all year round. They can't get a license to serve cool drinks.
Mm.
Isn't that weird?
That is so.
How every city has its own crazy laws,
crazy rules. So
crazy, no sense rules.
Yeah. So you're now saying you're a woman And
I'm a woman. I've always been a woman.
Yeah.
I've let, you know what happens, Harry?
Hmm.
I'm the kind of person that I listen to the last person who whispers in my ear.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a little bit too, I'm not centered all the time.
Yeah.
And what provoked this was, why don't you go back to being a woman? You know, the gentleman I was courting.
Yeah.
And this is before he went back to his wife. And I said, okay, I will. Well,
wow.
I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
But that's how it happened in several other times. You know, it's like, I tend to idolize people a little too much, and I listen to them a little too often.
Yeah.
Now, you I idolize, but I don't listen that often. I don't know when you're on.
No, I don't know. I don't either. But yeah. So you go back to the same doctor to perform these procedures, or do you?
Unfortunately, he was murdered.
No.
That particular gentleman had nothing to do with his medical practice.
Yeah.
It was a domestic dispute with his stepson.
No.
Who was terrible alcoholic.
Ugh.
Yeah. So I didn't go back to him, but I went back to his nurse.
Ah.
Who maybe didn't have the skills. But when you take, it's easy, as it says in the good book, it's easier to take away than to giveth, if you know what I mean. So that wasn't such a difficult operation.
I see what you're saying. Well, and also...
I mean, a monkey could do it, really, at this point with me.
Well, and on that island, I'm sure they have plenty of those, right?
Oh, there's lots of monkeys down on that island.
Yeah. Yvonne, if you had any advice to give to Don, at this point, what would it be? Because we have to... We're running out of time here.
Oh, really? It's gone... Mm. Boy, it feels like just a... quick minute.
Hmm.
That's how you are. You know, you have a way of just, well, oh, you are good. You're so good.
Thank you. So maybe you'd like to answer the question.
What happened to you? Have you been around?
Yeah, I'm in England right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would say to Don, I'd say, Don, when you finally land, and it sounds like you landed, because I totally understand that trauma, that kind of amnesia.
Mm.
I've had that. Many times.
Do you actually remember having had amnesia?
It's one of the few things I do remember.
Wow.
Because my mind's a sieve, you know?
Yeah.
But I would say, Don, be who you are.
Mm.
You know, there's a great number in Lacage, I am who I am. And I open with that. And then I get into the Shirley Bassey thing. And, you know, people out here don't know if that's a Shirley Bassey song or not.
Yeah.
And I say this with love. They're idiots here. They don't know. Go tell them about who was that woman that was on that was in that Che Guevara play?
Patti LuPone?
Sally LuPone.
Yeah.
Patti LuPone.
Yeah. Go tell
them. I told you my memory's a sieve.
Yeah. You wouldn't open with that song, though, when you were doing The Weather.
No, I would just do the straight weather. Because people have to know what's going on, especially when you live in that part of the country. What's it like where you are?
It's nice.
Ah, good for you.
Thank
that's
you.
Good.
So
keep it that way.
Hmm? Yeah, thank you.
That's what I would say at the end of my broadcast. Today, it's going to be a beautiful day. Keep it that way. That was my little hook.
Oh, that was your little motto.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That was my hook.
Well, you know what?
Even if it was a rainy day, I'd say make it a good day and keep it that way. Well, here's something that just bites my tush.
Yeah.
The person they got, the gentleman they got to replace me, has taken my hook.
No.
Yes.
You know,
you've been in show business for all your life.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know what a rat race it was and what a cutthroat business it was until that happened.
Wow.
Up until then, I thought show business was great.
Yeah. Well, you, as long as you have a lawyer for this this litigation with regard
to... Pro bono, by the way.
With regard to the firing, why doesn't he take on the stealing of your catchphrase? Make it a two-fer.
The stealing of my what? Oh, no, the stealing of my catchphrase.
Yes, sir. I'm in, ma'am. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well... one thing at a time. You know, first let us get the $500 million we're looking for. Or settle. I'll settle.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
It isn't about the money for me.
You're a reasonable gal.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out to make a point.
Yeah.
And the $500 million, that's just a placeholder. By the way, I've been making potholders with the crafting.
Really?
Yeah. You want me to hold on and get your address and send you something?
No, I'm fine. We have plenty of
potholders. You want me to just hold on anyway for anything?
No. No.
Okay.
So, Yvonne, just wrapping up quickly, one might observe that that your advice that you dispensed at the end of your forecast might be the motto you'd want to live the rest of your life with. You know,
absolutely, Harry. And
in other words, you're now a woman. Keep it that way.
There you go.
See,
and make yourself a good woman.
Well, I'm not going to do that.
Whether you're a woman or a man.
I see. Make yourself a good woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you know what? We all have a feminine side.
Yeah. And yours is where?
Right where it should be, my friend.
Excellent. Yvonne de la Femina.
And it's great to be back.
Good to talk to you. Thank you for calling.
Great talking to you, Harry.
I think we've used up the talk radio segment of our show, but no better use. Hey.
God bless you.
Thanks again. And the show continues. And just before we go, a note on secrecy, a letter drafted by the Obama administration specifically to inform Congress of the government's mass collection of Americans' telephone communications data was withheld from lawmakers by leaders of the House Intelligence Committee in the months before a key vote that affected the future of the program. This according to ProPublica. Ronald Weich, who was an assistant attorney general at the time, said making the material available to Congress would be an effective way to inform the legislative debate, but the House Intelligence Committee opted against making the document widely available. And Representative Justin Amash, Republican of Michigan, said he and dozens of other members elected in 2010 did not have access to the information they needed to fully understand the program until the leaks by Edward Snowden. Imagine that. Keep it quiet, though, won't you? Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this week's edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network, up and down the East Coast of North America by the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet 7.490 megahertz shortwave on the mighty 104 in Berlin, around the world via the internet at two different locations, live at archive whenever you want it, harryshearer.com and kcsn.org. Available for your smartphone through stitcher.com and available as a free podcast through iTunes, Sideshow Network, and now through SoundCloud as well. And it'd be just like getting back to the States if you'd agree to join with me then. Would you already? Thank you very much, Tip of the show, chapeau to the San Diego, Pittsburgh, Chicago, and Exile and Hawaii desks. Thanks, as always, to Pam Halstead. And thanks to Tom Leopold, who appeared as Yvonne de la Femina on today's broadcast. The email address for this program and a playlist of the music heard here on, always available, along with a fabulous store at harryshearer.com. And me? I'm the Harry Shearer on Twitter. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of the Change is Hard Radio Network. So long from London.